faith of our fathers we will love, both friend and foe in all our strife. Proclaim thee too, as love knows how, thy saving word and faith.
The first reading today is from the book of Isaiah, the 65th chapter. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their lap both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their lap payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servants' sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord. The psalmody assigned for today is Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of the many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Rise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing will be on your people. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, the third chapter. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith could be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God set forth his children, his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So we got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with them. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Change. The act or instance of making or becoming different. To alter or modify. To replace with something else. We are seeing a lot of change happening in our world right now. Whether it's for good or bad, there's a lot of change happening. And most people don't like change. When you think of change, do you think of it in a negative or a positive way? Now, you may say it may depend on the circumstances, I guess, but in my experiences, most people think of it in negative terms. But I've tried to keep in mind the change can be and often is good, especially when Jesus is involved. Jesus changes everything. I've had my share of change over the years, as have most of you. I try not to think too much about the change of life because it's part of being human. But most of my change has an "if I hadn't, then I never would have" attached to it. If I hadn't moved to Schenectady, New York from Little Rock in the middle of my junior year in high school, then I never would have continued playing basketball or been introduced to Valparaiso University by the deaconess at my church. If I hadn't gone to Valparaiso University, then I never would have met my husband, Craig, had my 3 children and 7 grandchildren. If we hadn't moved to Fayetteville, Arkansas in 1991 for Craig's first teaching job, then I never would have joined Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, where I met a large number of you sitting in this room. If we hadn't moved back to Indiana in 2002 to work at Valparaiso University, then I never would have gotten my master's in nursing and probably wouldn't have become a deaconess. If I hadn't gone to Cleveland Clinic for a second opinion to repair my mitral valve, then the aortic aneurysm may not have been discovered, and I might not be with you today. If I hadn't been brought up in the church by my parents, had faith, and prayed through all of this change, then I don't know where I would be today. Jesus changes everything. There are 2 times in the church year, that are called ordinary times. One follows Epiphany and one follows Pentecost, which we are in now. During this time of year, we use the color green, which often represents growth and change. We hear the stories of Christ's ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit, and we focus on the life of the church as it grows in the midst of a changing world. Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. Why? Because Jesus changes everything. Our gospel lesson comes from the book of Luke. Now, Luke himself was not an eyewitness to the life of Jesus, but he used others' eyewitness testimonies when writing this book. His purpose for the book was to emphasize Christ's divinity and perfect humanity in order to strengthen the faith of believers and to challenge the misconceptions of unbelievers. Luke also emphasizes the role of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life as a human, and what an example that is for us. Jesus lived his life under the power of the Holy Spirit, trusting the Father to disclose what he wants to disclose when he wants to disclose it. I confess, as a human, I have a hard time doing that. Without the Word of God and these eyewitness accounts, left to ourselves, we immediately reduce the mysteries of God to manageable terms. In other words, there are parts of Jesus that we edit out. Take a moment. Picture in your mind the image from Revelation 3:20, Jesus standing at the door, knocking. How many of you think of Jesus as mild-mannered, gentle Jesus, waiting patiently and hoping that you'll open the door? Or do you envision him as someone seeking you out and pounding on the door to save your sorry soul? It's true. He is the Prince of Peace, but he comes with a sword of mysteries, and that sword is used to cut away things that separate us from him. As the prophet Isaiah proclaims in our first reading this morning, the Lord finds those who did not seek him or ask for him. He spreads out his arms to a rebellious people and calls them to be his people and to dwell in peace upon his holy mountain. There is nowhere that Jesus can't or won't go. No one is beyond his reach. Jesus goes to the unclean places where we often find ourselves wrapped up in our own demons and are at our lowest of low places. When we think of Jesus as my buddy, my co-pilot, we forget the majesty of Jesus that cannot be put in a simple little human box. Yes, he was human, but he is also divine. He's the great both and. Jesus is safe enough for us to lean into his embrace and crawl up on his lap, but he's also our defender and will come with a sword and will cut away anything that threatens our intimacy with him. Jesus didn't lose divine attributes when he became a human, but rather he voluntarily chose not to use them. Now, some may say, but he did. He raised people from the dead. He cast out demons, but so did the apostles, proof of the Holy Spirit among them. You don't have to be God to do miracles, but you do have to know God and have faith. People of faith are the caregivers, but God is the cure giver, the miracle worker. Jesus changes everything. Leading up to our gospel lesson this morning, there are a number of stories where Jesus turns many people's worlds upside down. In Luke 5, there's the cleansing of the leper, the healing of the paralytic, and the story of the alienated tax collector. In Luke 7, the mourning widow's son is raised from the dead, and a sinful woman is forgiven. And right before our gospel lesson, in Luke 8, Jesus calms the storm on the waters. The effects of his ministry bring peace and reconciliation for some while causing divisions for others. Jesus changes everything. In our gospel lesson this morning, we hear the story of how Jesus changed the life of the man who was possessed by a legion of demons. We hear about the before and after of this man's encounter with Christ, how his world was changed forever. Before Jesus entered his life, there was chaos, isolation, and despair. The man was possessed by demons, was naked and living among the tombs. People avoided him at all costs. At times, they even bound him in shackles to try and control him, but the demons were too powerful. After Jesus' encounter with the man and the casting out of demons into a herd of pigs that ran down a steep bank into the lake and drowned, there was calm, community, and hope. Jesus turned his life completely upside down. When the pig farmers saw what had happened, they ran to tell others. And the people were afraid, but they wanted to see the changed man. Look at our world today. Like our psalm began, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. How often do we feel like the world is crumbling around us, that the end is near? We fear for our children and grandchildren's future. You can see the before Jesus more prevalent than ever with all the deception and lies. People can't even discern what is truth anymore. The murdering of innocent children, the power hungry and greedy, the drugs, the wars, all the chaos, isolation, and despair, the grief and the sin. These people are out of their right minds and don't know Jesus. But the good news is, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. So, when Jesus does come along through the witness of his people, which has been passed down through the waters of baptism and the Word, there is restoration, forgiveness, and right-mindedness. By right-minded, that doesn't mean we have it all together, but rather it means accepting that we don't have it all together. The serenity prayer comes to mind. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. Those in their right minds recognize how much they need Jesus, not only for eternal life, but for the life here and now. When we are in our right minds, we sit with Jesus and find calm, just as the man in our gospel lesson did. We gather together with others as Christ's body and community to learn from him and to find strength and forgiveness, just as the man in our gospel lesson did. But we don't stay there. Jesus sent the man back to his home and told him to tell others what Jesus had done for him, to share the hope of what is to come. This is a key verse. Jesus gives the man and us a command in chapter 8, verse 39. Return to your home. Go and declare how much God has done for you. What has Jesus done for you? Do you ever share the story with others? Some of us may say, I really haven't experienced Jesus like the man in the gospel, so I'm not worthy to share Jesus with others. Some of us may be afraid of what others will say if we share how Jesus has worked in our lives. No one ever said following Jesus would be easy, but through our baptism and faithful living in Christ, we are made right with God. Luke didn't have to be an eyewitness to the personal works of Jesus to believe, but like us today, I believe he did see the works of our Heavenly Father, of Jesus the Son, and of the Holy Spirit through the apostles and all those who believe. Then and now, we witness the after Jesus life of those with faith, the church. In the coming weeks, You will be hearing about the Stephen Ministry program that Emmanuel will be sharing with you and our community as a way to be the church for others. I am currently participating in the Leaders Bridge program to help train and lead Stephen ministers in our congregation. Many people often ask, what exactly is a Stephen minister? One way to put it is that Stephen ministers are the after people. Stephen ministers are there after the phone call you hoped you'd never get. After the funeral when everyone has left and the emotions are crashing in. After the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's nothing more we can do. After the nursing home director shakes your hand and says, welcome home. After the last child honks the horn, waves and drives away, and the house suddenly seems empty. After the baby arrives, demanding more of you than you ever dreamed possible. After you've retired and don't know what to do with yourself. After your family and friends have heard your story one too many times, but you still need to talk about it. Stephen ministers are the after people. They are Christ-centered people ready to come alongside you or your friend, neighbor, coworker, or relative, and provide the comfort and support of Jesus for as long after as needed. If you feel you need a Stephen minister, or know someone who would benefit from a Stephen minister, or maybe you even want to become a Stephen minister, please contact Bob Johnson, me, Pastor Jeff. Now, that's a little plug there for the little announcement. But there will be more information to come in the future. We are the church, heirs of the kingdom through faith. As our second reading from Galatians tells us, Christ has come in the fullness of time to fulfill the law on our behalf and to redeem us from its every accusation. Therefore, having been justified by his grace through faith in his gospel, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Galatians 3, verse 28 reads, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. We are the church, heirs to the kingdom, the after people to share with others how Jesus changes everything. Let us declare our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let us pray together in Christ Jesus for all people according to their needs. Loving God, grant us the freedom to leave the temptation of anxiety to fully rely and trust in you. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, grant us eyes that see and hearts that appreciate your grace. Call us out of the darkness and vanity of the world into a right relationship with your beloved Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, grant us wise and faithful pastors who speak your truth in love. Help them follow the way of Christ and lead your church. Bless the people and leaders of Emmanuel Lutheran Church as we seek to discover and do your will. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, grant us civil leaders and corporate leaders that strive to lead and serve according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, grant healing to the sick and all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we name in our hearts now. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, grant us all the good that you have prepared for us today in the holy covenant of Jesus' body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, grant us together with all your saints life eternal in your kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray. We will trust in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, he is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. My life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shining light and let the whole world see. In all the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shining light and